building towards the end of the month of Elul and the beginning of Slichas. And it's important for us, as we approach the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to figure out what we want to accomplish during this period of time. So Lamaisa, there's a question about this tkufa of the year that the Balei Musar ask. We know that on Rosh Hashanah it's a time of Yira. We're being judged. So the nature of the days are days filled with Yira. In the Welt, they're known as the days of awe. Yomim Noiroim. Days of Yira, days of fear. Then we go on to Yom Kippur, and this Yira, this Tahara, this Tshuva. And finally, we get to Sukkot. And Sukkot is a Zman of love, a Zman of Ahava. We move into the Sukkah, Kav Yochel, we're living with the Shekhinah. Then we get to Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, Yishar Keinu, Minashikas Piyu, we mamish, embrace the Torah, we embrace Kutcha Berichu. Simchas Torah is the epitome of love between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we climb a ladder to get to a point of Avas Hashem. So one would think that in Elul we would be very far from that Madrega. And yet Elul, everybody knows, Rosh Yeshiva spoke about it last week, Elul stands for Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. It represents a love of Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how come, if the goal Simchas Torah is meant to represent this love, so what are we talking Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li in Elul? That's for Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres. The answer is that Elul is a time to prepare for the journey that we're about to embark upon in Yirat Hashem in a few days. And before you take a trip, you have to know where you're going. If you go to a business fair, you got to know what you want to buy. What do you want to come home with? Person goes on a business trip, and he goes and he looks at all the things there are to see, but he doesn't know what he wants to buy. He'll come home empty-handed. We have to know, what is it that we want to accomplish over the next few weeks? What do we want to take with us? What do we want to bring home with us? What do we want to go away with when we finish the Yomim Noiroyim? To answer this, there's a story. I'm sure I've told it in the past. It's a famous maisa. There was a yid, there was the gabbai in the kehillah, and he collected money for tzedakah. Especially in Atzeres you make tshuva, everybody's giving tzedakah, everybody wants all the zechusim they can get, and so he's busy giving tzedakah, taking care of tzrachim, all the tzarchei tzibur, and it's already the afternoon, Kol Nidre is a few hours away, and he gets word that the Poritz has thrown his innkeeper into jail, because the innkeeper has not paid his monthly rent. Several months had gone by and the innkeeper was threatened, and finally he had no money, he couldn't pay. So the porridge threw him in jail. And if he can't come up with 1,000 rubles, he's going to die sitting in the dungeon. And the porridge, who has no rachmonis, couldn't care less. The gabbai hears about this yid's plight, and even though he's collected tzedakah from every single person in town, he feels a need, he has to go back out again. How is it shaykh for him to leave a yid wallowing in prison over Yontif on Yom Kippur. But he doesn't know where to go. He's gone to every yid. He scraped the bottom of the barrel. He's collected every ruble, every kopek that's available. So he finally has an einfall. I'm going to go to the bar. There are a couple of yidden who don't necessarily make the proper hachanas for Yom Kippur, but maybe they have a Jewish heart. So I'll go into the bar. Go to the back where they play cards. I'll pour out my heart, and maybe they'll find room to have some rachmanis for a yid. So he goes into the bar. They start laughing at him. What are you doing in the bar, Erev Yom Kippur? I thought you were the gabbai in Erlich HaYid, a great tzaddik. You came to the bar. You're taking the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur a stickle too far. It was very bizarre. So Memeila, he has no bravery, he comes in and he says, Rabbeisai, you have a Yiddish heart. There's a Jew in jail. I need 1,000 rubles. First they start laughing at him that the Hava Mina, that they would give tzedakah to save a Yid. But then one of them says, I'll tell you what. If you drink a bottle of vodka, the entire bottle, I'll give you 1/3 of the money you need. 333 in the third rubles. So the gabbai is thinking, I'm not used to drinking, but there's a yid in jail, I have to prevail, I cannot fail. So give me the schnapps and I'll vomit in the pail. So they give him the bottle. He drinks it down. Another guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you another bottle and I'll pay another third if you drink another bottle of vodka. The gabbai is not used to drinking this much, even on Purim. His head's already starting to swim, but he says, listen, there's a yid who's suffering a terrible fate. I can't sit here and hesitate, even if I regurgitate. But I have to do it, I can't wait. So he drinks the second bottle. His head is now swimming. And a guy says, I tell you what, I'll give you the last third if you drink another bottle. So the guy's thinking to himself, if I drink another bottle, I will be so toasted, I won't know if I'm coming or going. But he says to himself, I don't have a breira. I won't be stable, I'll end up under the table drinking Red Label, but there's a yid in jail, I have to prevail, I can't fail, even if my head's going to start to sail. So, he drinks the third bottle, they give him the money, he staggers out of the bar. Somehow or other, he makes his way to the house of the Poritz. He gives the Poritz 1,000 rubles, and he makes his way back to the shul. He gets to the shul. It's just time for Kol Nidre. And he falls down on the floor in front of the shul, tight shikr. And he's sitting there singing, Atah Hirei Solodas, Ki Hashem Walekim, Ey No, Yibul Vadoi. So everyone gets nervous. They run to the Rebbe. They say, Rebbe, the gabbai is tight shikr. It's Kol Nidre Nacht. And he's lying there singing, Simchas Torah. You got to do something about it. So the Rebbe says, Rabbeisai, we have to get to that madrega of Atah Harei Soladas, Ki Hashem Hu Elikim. The gabbai, who's Moiser Nefesh for another yid, Erhalchon thereby. He doesn't have to go through the process he's already holding by Atah Harei Soladas. We have work to do. Leave him alone and let's stop. So what we see over here is that what do we want to take with us at the end of this process? We want to come to the darga of Atah Harei Soladas. We want to come to the darga where we can have a dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all that matters, that's all that counts, that's all that there is. I have a shaychus, a dveikus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ein oid milvad, there's nothing else. The problem is that right now we have a lot of things that are separating between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Sefer Mishnah Lamelech, he says, by him in the town, before they would start Slichas, would tell all the children to get up early in the morning with the adults, L'galoi so even min ha-be'er. By Yaakov Avinu, he came to roll the stone off the well. He said, let's say Slicha so we can roll the stone off the well. There's a wellspring of a neshama within ourselves, but it's covered with a rock. And we start saying Slichas, and we have to uncover that which is preventing us from feeling the Shaychas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we start saying Slichas, and we try to roll that rock off our heart, to roll the obstruction that separates between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we can be Matzliach, and we can go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to know that through the process of Slichas, the process of Tshuva, we can turn ourselves into new people. We can have a fresh start, renew ourselves, and become different people. There's a maisa that I recently saw. The Baruch Ber, Sefer Bircha Shmuel, was written by the Baruch Ber Leibowitz. The Baruch Ber was a very, very big Balmidas, very big Oyvid Hashem. What happened was that his parents were very old, and he took great care to be mechabed them. And he went to great extremes to be mekayim kibbud av ha'ein. And when his father was suffering his final illness, Rav Baruch Ber sat by his father's bedside. And one night, Rav Baruch Ber felt he couldn't be there. He asked the bacher to be there instead. And that was the night that his father was nifter. And Rav Baruch Ber felt terrible. He felt that maybe had he been there, his father would not have died. He felt maybe he didn't fulfill his achrayus and kibbud av ha'ein. And he became extremely tzabrochen. And Gedolim came to be Menachem Avol. They came to him afterwards, and nobody could console him. Many months later, there was an asifa of Rabbonim. Rav Baruch Ber came, and people who hadn't seen him yet, baita were Menachem Avol. And everybody saw that Rav Baruch Ber was very tzabrochen. The Chafetz Chaim saw this also. He went over to Rav Baruch Ber and he says, "What is? What's the matter?" Rav Baruch Ber poured out his heart to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim took Rav Baruch Ber's hand and he said to him, "Rav Baruch Ber, you did teshuvah. You're a naya mensch. The person who feels he was guilty of not being mechabed his father is not here anymore. You're a new person. You did tshuva." And with that, Rav Baruch Ber was consoled. He was ecstatic. He kept on repeating, "Ich bin a naya mensch." And that, if an emes, is the koyach of tshuva. It's the koyach of the zman that we're about to begin, that we can make ourselves into different people. We can turn ourselves into the great people we're capable of becoming. We can throw away the avar and start the new us and as new people, as great people, as people who can live with the ambition, with a goal of godless. But you have to involve yourself in the process. There was a person on the train to Auschwitz. The Yidden on the train looked at him. Blonde hair, blue eyes. He didn't look like he was born in the shtetl in Varsha, wherever it was. And they said, what are you doing on the train? Why couldn't you get yourself out? So he said, I'm a geyer. And what inspired me? I lived in a shtetl with Yidden. And I did business with these people. I interacted with them. I had shaychus to them. And I once walked by the shul as they were leaving Yom Kippur after Nila. And I looked at these people. And the same people I do business with, I deal with. And they look like angels. And I said to myself, if there is a religion that can turn regular people into malachim, I want to be part of it. And that's why I'm here. And I'm staying with these people all the way to the end. We can walk away from a Yom Kippur like malachim. So what do we have to do? What's the avodah that we have to do? So we've all heard that the avodah in Rosh Hashanah, amongst many other things, Chazal tell us on Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say v'hikraftem oila, but it says v'asisem oila. You make yourself an oila. We have to make ourselves into an oila. And we use the days of Slichos to examine the carbon we're going to bring to make sure there are no blemishes on the carbon. But what does it mean, Vasisem Oila? We don't throw ourselves into a fire. We don't shecht ourselves. What does it mean, Vasisem? How do you make yourself an Oila? I think the first step that you have to know is to give yourself over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Vasisem Oila. To take a pride in what it means to be a Yid and say, Ich bin a Yid. And I want to be counted as a Yid. When Yoina was on the ship and they made Goyrolas to find out who was responsible for the storm, and the Goyrol fell on Yoina. So they say to Yoina, Ma malachdecha, what's your work? What do you do for a profession? Where do you live? Where do you come from? What's your nation? Who are your people? And Yoina says one word, Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Yid, that's it, that's my career, that's my nation, that's my nationality, that's where I come from. Ivri Anoichi, that's who I am. How many of us are ready to say Ivri Anoichi? To stand up and say, I'm a Yid, that's who I am, that's how I define myself. How many bochrim have I asked to wear a bigger yarmulke? Chas v'sholem. A bigger yarmulke, I'd look too frum. Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Yid! Are we proud of that? Is that what we stand for? How many bochrim worship goyish music? I have to hear complaints that there are bochrim who sing goyish music. Music has a koyach to touch your neshama. It's a suffix with Jewish music you could listen to. But to listen to goyish shkotzim who sing words and lyrics of tuma, Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Yid! How do you define yourself as a Yid if you touch your neshama with shmutz? Asisem Oila means I want to define myself as a Yid. Whether it's my yarmulke, my tzitzis, my behavior, the way I speak like a Yid, I dress like a Yid, I want to look like a Yid, I'm proud of being a Yid. I don't have to identify with a guy who carries a football and walk around proudly carrying his name on my back. Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Yid. That's my Sisem Oil. I want to stell it back. I'm a Yid. And I give that to the Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Nishal Oilim, it's Rosh Hashanah. Count me in. always said over that there are a couple of things you need to begin the year. Said, oh, this is the time of the year that I get the registration papers for my brand new 1998 car. So there's three things you need to register your car. You need the registration, insurance, and the emission sticker. The registration is you sign the check. I'm a Colorado resident with all of the responsibilities, jury duty, voting, parking tickets, and I pay a check. That's the registration. Ivri Anoichi is our registration. But now you have to have proof of insurance. Rabbi Yishim says, you made a few mistakes last year. You did a few averus. What are you going to do to change? What's the insurance policy? What's the guarantee you're going to change? What are you going to do different? So you'll say, last year I spoke Lashon Hara. I'll stop speaking Lashon Hara. Last year I bottled out of every night Seder about 45 minutes. This year I'll try to cut it down to 44. Last year I wasn't mechabed my parents properly. This year when I go home at least once I'll bring out the garbage. I'll try to change. But you have to realize that the real insurance policy requires that you figure out where you have to make the changes. Here's a maisa of a guy who owned a tall skyscraper, 44 stories. He hires a janitor. He tells the janitor, okay, today I want you to clean the elevators. When you finish, come to me, I'll give you your next job. 3 weeks later, the janitor comes back. He says, okay, boss, I cleaned the elevators. So the boss says to him, it took you 3 weeks to clean the elevators? He says, I don't understand. You got 44 floors, two elevators in every floor, that's 88 elevators. It took a long time to clean all of them. Sometimes we clean the surface. We don't realize that there's something that's a shayrish to the problem that's much deeper. And we're busy cleaning the surface. We don't understand that there's a deeper problem. If you want to have insurance that you're not choyte, maybe it's not just saying I won't speak Lashon Hara. Maybe you have to work on gaiva, that you don't have to be the know-it-all who tells everybody the news. Maybe it's kinna that you have to work on. If you can't daven with kavana, maybe it's laziness that you have to work on. You can buy every new sitter in the store, but if you're lazy, you won't daven. And if you're jealous, you won't stop speaking Lashon Hara. And you won't stop chepering with other people. The question is, are we working on the core of the problem? Are we just paying lip service to our averus? What's your insurance policy? What's the guarantee the chatoyim won't repeat themselves? And finally, you need an emission sticker. Are you polluting the world? Are you making the world a better place? How's your Bein Odom L'Chaveira? How's your emission sticker? Often told over, when I was zoich to get my new car, so I went to the motor vehicle department and I showed them the title, and the lady says to me, there's a shtickle problem. Normally mileage goes up. Somehow or other in your car the mileage is going down. You see, the first owner drove 33,000 miles, the second one went up to 55, and the third one went down to 48. I said, what's the problem? They were driving backwards for 5,000 miles. So she said, nope, it's not good. You have to go back. You have to get a better title. I can't renew this title. I can't transfer it to you. So I go back to the guy who sold me the car. So what do? They put in my mailbox a few days later a new title. It was really the old title, but they turned the 7 into a 9, and they turned the 3 into an 8, they turned the 1 into a 7. And shine, I go back to the motor vehicle department, I get the same lady, she looks at it, she says to me, "This is not going to work. I saw this last time. You just doctored up the numbers. But don't worry, for $2.22, I can give you a temporary title." So I got temporary plates for $2.22. I went back to the lady, so finally she gives me an updated title. The mileage is going up. I go back to the motor vehicle department. There's a new lady serving me this time. She looks at everything. The mileage is going up. Then she says, "Uh-oh, there's one more problem. Your emission sticker is no good. But don't worry, for $2.22, you can get another temporary plate for another 19 days. I left there, it thought hit me. We always worry about our title. And we really have to worry about our emission. We worry about ourselves, my title, what am I, rabbi, doctor, professor, am I this, am I that? Worry about your emission, are you affecting other people? So how's the emission sticker? So you want to have a new year, make sure you register. Ivri Anoichi. Stand up before the Rabbein Israel and Nichnin the Chayid. And make sure you have insurance. How are you going to guarantee you don't repeat the same Averis? And make sure that the world needs you around, that you're not polluting the world, but you're making the world a better place. And we do those things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us another gesunte year of Chaim. But many people are frustrated. Many people will feel, didn't we go through this last year and the year before and the year before? So I tried. And you know, after Yom Kippur, maybe it's after Sukkot, maybe it's a few weeks before Hanukkah, it all falls apart. So why bother? So I want you to know that when you start davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's a message. Because if you notice in the Machzor, right after the Chazan starts HaMelech, usually it says, "V'fi yishar v'tishalel v'divrei tzadikim tisborach." But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we change the wording. And we say, and we change the words for the purpose that the way the words are spelled, it says, so when you look at your siddur, and most siddurim it'll be in block letters, you'll see two people staring at you right before Baruch Hu. On one side you'll see Yitzchak, and next to it it says Rivka. So when you get into davening, and you're thinking, here we go again, Rosh Hashanah, 5 hours of standing here, and what's it worth? And you're going to want to give up. So when you get started, there are Yitzchak and Rivka waiting for you. And what do Yitzchak and Rivka have to do with anything? So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Yitzchak Avinu is the one that defends Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Avram, he says, "Bonecha Chotu." So Avram Avinu says, "Yimachu HaKadosh HaShemecha." If they sin, so destroy them. So he goes to Yaakov, "Bonecha Chotu." So Yaakov says, "Yimachu HaKadosh HaShemecha," wipe them out. So Hashem goes to Yitzchak. He says, "Bonecha Chotu." So Yitzchak says, "Wait a second. Bonecha, they're my children? Rabbi Nisham, they're your children. What do you mean they're my children? Now that they're chaytim, they're all of a sudden they're my children, they're not your children, they're your children. He says, Rabbi Yishon, let's make a deal. How long does a person live? 70 years, half the time he's sleeping. So we're down to 35 years. How many averus can you do 35 years? Figure in the 35 years, about 12 of those years are busy eating, doing, taking care of physical tzrachim. So we knock it off, it's down to 25 years. So 25 years, Shem Rabbi Yishon, you can take 25 years. And you'll be Michael them. And if not, I went on the Akkad, I gave up my life for you, I'll take 12 and a half, you take 12 and a half, and we're even. So Yitzchok Avinu is the Sanegor, he's the one who stands, he says, I won't give up on Klal Yisrael. I won't give up on any Yid. And what about Rivka Imenu? You know what the last time the Torah says about Rivka? The last time she's referred to? It refers to Rivka as Ein Yaakov and Esau. That's the Torah's epitaph of Rivka. She was the mother of Yaakov and Esau. I, Esau, Harosha. But Rivka blind, Ein Yaakov and Esau. She didn't give up on her children. Lomo Eshkol Gam Shneyem V'Yoymecha, they're both her children. And so Yitzchak and Rivka stand there right before you start davening and they say, don't give up! Never give up on yourself. Last year was no good, the year before, but don't give up! And if they don't, you know that the Rebbein Hashem doesn't give up on us either. David HaMelech had a son, his name was Avshalom. And Avshalom rebelled against David. And he forced David away from his palace. He waged a revolution against his own father. And finally the day came that the news was brought to David HaMelech that Avshalom was killed. And what was David HaMelech's reaction? Vayirgas HaMelech Vayal al Aliyas HaShar Vayeit. David HaMelech went up to the Aliyas HaShar and he cried. V'choy Omar V'lech Doyen. As he walked, he said, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni Avshalom. Miyitei Musi Anitachtecho Avshalom, B'ni. He's crying, my son Avshalom, I'll die, I would die instead of you. And the Pasuk later on says again, Vayizak HaMelech Kol Godol B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni. So Rashi brings down, he said, B'ni, 8 times. 7 times he took him out of the 7 Madure Gehenim, and the 8th time he brought him into Gan Eden. Because a father doesn't give up on his children. And as bad as Avshalom was to David, but David cries, B'ni, Avshalom, B'ni. And Chaim Shmulevitz, a chetzadik l'drocha, used to daven by Yad Avshalom. He used to say, Rebbein Shalom, a tata never gives up on his children. And you're our tata. So Rebbein Shalom, don't give up on us. Rebbein Shalom doesn't give up on us. And the worst thing you can do is give up on yourselves. So when you start davening, remember there's Rivka, there's Yitzchak, and they're telling you not to give up. So daven on Rosh Hashanah and stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Ivri Anoichi, Rabbi Nishalem, I'm a Yid. I want to be a Yid. I'm proud to be a Yid. And I want you to take me back and write me in the Sefer HaChaim. And I will serve you as a Yid. And I'll make myself a better person. We should all be Zoicha. And we should go through the next few weeks to Shteig, to grow, and ultimately to be written the Sefer HaChaim, be Zoicha to a Gevaldike Yid.